Dạ.
Sarvesham Suprabhatam. Yoga Sutra Paricheya Kakshya. Tasyah Dvavimshah Vargah. Arambaha Mangala Shlokena Bhavati. Yogena Chittasya Padena Vacham Malam Sharirasya Chavidyakena. Yopakarottam Pravaram Muninam Patanjalim Pranjaliranatosmi. Purvatana Kakshayaha Punasmaranam. So let's review the class, previous class. So of the Ashtangas, the fourth Anga is Pranayama, Yama, Niyama, Asana and Pranayama. The fourth one is Pranayama. And we saw the Lakshanam of Pranayama. Shvasa Prashvasa Yoho Gati Vichedaha Pranayamaha. The cessation of both inhalation and exhalation was given as the general definition of pranayama, which is applicable to any pranayama. And then prabedaha, the divisions of pranayama, the bahya, antarika, bahya, abhyantara, stambhavritti and the chaturtha or the kevala pranayama that was mentioned. And then upaya, how to achieve the goal of pranayama. The lakshya of pranayama was also mentioned, to make the breath dirgha and sukshma. So the goal of pranayama is to make the breath long and subtle. And the method to attain it was mentioned as desha kala sankhyabihi paridrishtaha. So one can observe or control or employ techniques related to the distance to which the breath travels inside and outside. Desha kala, the length of period which to which a person can hold the breath. And then sankhya, the number of times pranayama is practiced. So by all these factors, prana has to be made dirgha and sukshma. And the avantara phalam or the intermediate benefit of pranayama is prakasha avarana kshayaha. Two benefits are mentioned. Prakasha avarana kshayaha, the withering away or the removal of the covering over light. Light of knowledge. The light, the darkness that covers the truth that the matter and spirit are different from each other, that covering, that darkness, that slowly withers away with the practice of pranayama. And the second benefit that was mentioned was dharana sucha yogyata. Yogyata, qualification to practice the higher steps of pranayama, including dharana, dharanasu. Dharana, dhyana and samadhi are possible only based on one's proficiency or one's practice or maturity in controlling the breath. So that is also one of the results of pranayama. So thus, after pranayama, the fifth limb or the last anga of the ashtanga in the second chapter is pratyahara. The last three limbs will be mentioned in the third chapter, whereas the fifth, the pratyahara, is the last thing to be addressed in the second chapter. Pratyahara was discussed after that in the few final sutras. Again, Lakshanam and Avantara Phalam. Only two sutras for Pratyahara. Swasvarupa, Swavishaya asamprayoge sati chittasya swarupa anukarah. So twofold description of pratyahara was given. One is pratyahara is associated with the senses, the senses not attaining contact with their respective objects is one aspect of pratyahara, and then the senses implicitly following the mind is the second aspect of pratyahara. So senses being well controlled, not attaining their connection with each of their objects, and not only that, it is not mere abstinence from connection with the objects outside, it is also a complete obedience to the mind. The senses do not drag the mind out, as Krishna says, Indriyani pramathini haranti prasabham manaha. The senses are very revolting in nature, and they simply drag the mind to wherever they desire. So such is the strength of the senses, whereas in pratyahara the senses they obey the mind and they do not simply drag the mind away. So that is pratyahara. So the first step in pratyahara would be to severe or to aim at gradually reducing the outwardly movement of the senses, and then the second step would be to make the senses absolutely obedient to the mind. Wherever the mind desires, only the senses will act accordingly. So that is pratyahara. And avantara phala is nothing but total control over the senses, which means extreme stability. Various commentators describe this avantara phalam or the intermediate benefit of pratyahara in different ways. Going by Sadashiva Brahmendra's commentary, we see that nishchalata, atishayena nishchalata, highest level of stability of the senses is the benefit of pratyahara. So thus we see that the ideas have completed in the we have completed the ideas that are presented in the second chapter. Actually there are more details to be discussed, as this is Yoga Sutra Parichaya only. There are various kinds of pratyaharas. What are all the various kinds of pratyaharas? That can also be found in the Vyasa's commentary to this sutra. I'm not going into that. Probably in future when we take up a detailed discussion based on Vyasa's commentary, we may take it. So that is analyzed under pratyahara. This is in brief the contents of the 21st class that we did previously. Yeah. So now just we'll summarize the content of the previous of the second chapter briefly before we move into the third chapter, that is the Vibhuti Pada. Vibhuti Pada has according to our view, Vibhuti Pada has 8 major subjects. The first unit, the Vibhuti Pada had, we discussed. The first unit discussed about Kriya Yoga and Kleshas. Tapas Swadhyaya and Ishvara Pranidhana. The five kleshas were also discussed. Avidya, Asmita, Raga, Dvesha and Abhinivesha. They were mentioned there. And then in the second unit, Karmashaya and Vipaka. So, when the kleshas exist, it results in Karmashaya, the stacking up of the karmas, which will yield benefit in births that come. And then Vipaka is the benefit in the form of Jati, Ayu and Bhoga. Jati is birth, Ayu is lifespan, and Bhoga is the experiences in the births to come. That is discussed. So when kleshas exist, Karmashaya and Vipaka come into being. And then based on these Karmashaya and Vipaka, what we experience is Dukkham, pain. And then the Chaturvyuha. The Chaturvyuha was mentioned. What is Chaturvyuha? The fourfold arrangement or the fourfold strategy to overcome Dukkham was mentioned. Heyam, Heyahetu, Hanam, Hanopayaha. The four steps were discussed. Heyam is Dukkham. It is Dukkham which has to be overcome. Heyahetuhu. The cause for the Dukkham is Drashtru Drishya Sanyogaha, the wrong identification between Drashta and Drishyam, or the seer and the seen, or the spirit and the matter, the soul and the matter, or Purusha and the Prakriti. So all these are but synonyms. So the wrong connection all those that results out of that connection is the Heya Hetu, that is the cause for Dukkham. Hanam is Kaivalyam, or the strategy to or the goal to be achieved is mentioned by the term Hanam, that is Kaivalyam, the independence of the soul from the matter, that is Hanam. Hanopayaha, that is the goal. If the independence is achieved from the Prakriti, what results is freedom from Dukkha. The Hana Upayaha, the method to achieve or the step to achieve that is Viveka Khyati. Viveka Khyati was mentioned. Viveka Khyati, knowledge of the difference or the essential separateness of Prakriti and Purusha, that the difference in nature of Prakriti and Purusha, the knowledge about it is Viveka Khyati, firm Viveka Khyati, Aviplava Viveka Khyatihi Hanopayaha. That is the upaya or the means to attain Hanam or Kaivalyam that was mentioned. And this Viveka Khyati is achieved, this state of clarity about the difference between the nature of Prakriti and Purusha, that is achieved by Ashtanga Yoga. Yoganga Anushtana Dashuddhikshaye Jnana Deeptihi Aviveka Khyatehe. The eight limbs of yoga help in reducing the impurities of the mind and also the body, and by that what happens is gradually it leads a person to the stage of Viveka Khyati, which will finally result in Kaivalyam, which also implies freedom from Dukkha. And the later units discuss the first five limbs of yoga, namely Yama, Niyama, Asana and Pranayama, Pranayama and Pratyahara. So from Yama till Pratyahara, discussion is presented by Patanjali in the second pada. So this in brief is the content of the second pada, which is called as Sadhana Pada. As one can see, the major portion, the two major sadhanas, that is Kriya Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga, are presented in this section, and hence it is rightly mentioned as sadhana pada. So there ends the second chapter, and now we move into the third chapter. The third chapter is called as Vibhuti Pada. Vibhuti Pada is again, I think, has 55 sutras, and the content of Vibhuti Pada, as indicated by the word itself, Vibhuti, is Bhutir Vibhuti Raishwaryam Animadikam Ashtadha. Aishwaryam. Vibhuti refers to Aishwaryam, the various powers. That is called as Vibhuti, the various powers that one achieves by the practice that will be specified in this chapter. That will lead to the Vibhutis, various powers, extraordinary powers. That is discussed in this pada. In the process of achieving Kaivalyam, these Vibhutis are also one possibility. Kaivalyam is the essential goal of yoga, but these extraordinary powers are also achieved by practicing various techniques of yoga. Now we see the structure of the third pada. This has 6 units. The first unit presents dharana, dhyana and samadhi. As we see here, dharana, dhyana and samadhi are presented here, which implies that it is these three which are instrumental in helping a person to achieve those powers. So these antaranga sadhanas, these three are called as antaranga sadhanas, that will be mentioned later, the direct tools to achieve these vibhutis, and hence rightly this chapter begins with dharana, dhyana and samadhi. Definitions of dharana, dhyana and samadhi are presented, the last three limbs of Ashtanga Yoga, and then in the first unit, and then in the state of, while achieving the state of samadhi, what happens to the mind. So what are all, so what are all the modifications or parinamas, what are the changes that the mind undergoes while a person is gradually reaching the state of samadhi, the functioning, a peep in view of the mind. When a person gradually achieves this state of samadhi, that is presented under trayaha chitta parinamaha, samadhi parinamaha, nirodha parinamaha, samadhi parinamaha and ekagrata parinamaha. These are all the three kinds of modifications or changes that the mind undergoes while it gradually progresses towards the highest state, that is samadhi. So that is mentioned here, and again these three are essential to achieve the various powers also. And then siddhyartham purvarangaha, before the description of the various siddhis, some concepts are clarified, like dharma, dharmi and krama. Sequence, the modifications are mentioned. So the sequence of modification that happens to the various attributes, and then the substratum of modification, all those concepts, it will be made clear while we discuss those three concepts, dharma, dharmi and krama, which is of course associated with the parinamas. That is mentioned in the third unit. From the fourth unit, that is the 16th sutra, we see the commencement of the siddhis. Siddhis part 1, from 16 to 37. Siddhis, the various powers, part 2 from 38 to 51. And then Siddhis, part 3, Sutra 51 to 55. Now, why these three divisions? As we can see, external Siddhis, Vahyaha Siddha, these terms are not used by Patanjali, but by studying the nature of those powers, we can classify these Siddhis in three ways. Bahya Siddhayaha, the Siddhis associated with the external world. Antarikyaha Siddhayaha, Siddhis associated with the internal aspects of human being. And then Sukshmaha, subtle, some more subtle Siddhis which are useful towards achieving the Kaivalya. Those Siddhis which help in reaching the state of Kaivalya, that is presented in the third section. So this classification is again according to me, based on the commentaries that are available. So the Siddhis of the Vibhutipada, the powers of Vibhutipada, are classified in these three manners. So this, in short, is the structure of the third pada, Vibhutipada. So which clearly begins with Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. Now we move into the first unit about Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. So we see that in the third chapter, within the Sutra range, Sutra 1 to 8, we see Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. Now, of course, the previous five limbs are essential for a practitioner who has begun from scratch. They are essential for a person, for a beginner, to reach this stage. But whereas if a person who has a Purva Janma Samskara, a conditioning, if a person is better placed because of his Purva Janma Samskaras, the Samskaras of previous birth, then he may directly start with Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. All that we will see. So what is Dharana? Desha Bandhaha. So the binding of the mind or fixing of the mind in a specific desha, in a place, in any place. So now all these three, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi, will be related only to the mind. So so the first step in these three deeper tools of yoga is Dharana, where it is advised to fix the mind in one particular thing, Desha Bandha, in one particular place. So it is like just tying a horse or a cow to a post, so that the scope of its being distracted, or for example, seeing the example of the cow or the horse being tied to a post, so the scope of its going elsewhere is reduced. Though the animal can move about around the post, it will not move away, far away. So the first step is to fix the mind in a place, so that its scope of getting distracted is reduced. So that is a very good indication here. So to achieve focus, the first effort should be to reduce distraction through Desha Bandhaha, by fixing the mind in a specific place. So what is the place in which the mind can be fixed? The commentators give two kinds of places. Places outside the body, places on the body, three actually. Places outside the body, places on the body and places inside the body. So these are the various deshas, places where the mind can be fixed. So depending upon the level of focus, a person can decide whether he chooses external objects or objects or places on the body or places inside the body. Nadi chakre, hridaya pundarike, murdhni jyotishi, nasika agre, jihva agre, ityevam adishu desheshu, bahyeva vishaye, chittasya bandhaha. It may be the navel, or it may be the heart, the lotus of the heart. It may be the top of the head. It may be the nasika agra, the tip of the tongue. Nasika agra, the tip of the nose. And jihva agra, it may be the tip of the tongue. So these are the places on the body and inside the body. Hridaya, all those things are inside the body. Whereas tip of the tongue, tip of the nose are on the body. Or Vahyeva Vishaye, Vyasa gives that option, or objects external on some form of on something outside, like a lotus, or on a temple, something like that. So the place can be decided based on the advice of the guru, depending upon the level of the focus, the ability to focus the mind. So that is dharana. Essentially, tying the mind to one post or one place is dharana. When once this happens, then what happens, what has to be done is dhyanam. So only when the desha bandha is done, when only the mind is bound to a place, then in that place, the object, the desired object, should be meditated upon. So, for example, if we take the lotus of the heart. So that is the place, and in that lotus of the heart, one can meditate upon the light, which is the Purusha or the soul, or one can meditate upon Narayana, or on Shiva, or any deity that is sattvic in nature. So that has to be again decided based on the advice of the guru. So when the desha is fixed, we move to the second step, that is dharana. After dharana comes dhyanam. Pratyaya ekatanata. There is a spelling mistake. It is ekatantata. It is mentioned. It is wrongly typed. It should be ekatanata. Pratyaya ekatanata. Pratyaya indicates vritti, chitta vritti. Ekatanata, ekaswarupata, the identical nature of thoughts. That is dhyanam. The ability to make the thoughts be consistent. So the previous thought is similar to that of the next thought in form. For example, whichever object one focuses for chooses as an object of meditation, it is the same series of thoughts only on that particular chosen object. If that happens, then that is dhyanam. So the effort that is put in to ensure that the successive thoughts in the mind are of the effort that is put in to ensure that the successive thoughts of the mind contain the same object. That is dhyanam according to the Yoga Sutra of Patanjali. So when people speak of meditation, this is meditation. So I'll repeat it. Pratyaya ekatanata. Ekatanata, similarity of the same nature. Ekatanata, of only one object, with respect to one object. Pratyaya, flow. The flow, the thoughts the flow of thoughts which are similar in nature. So that is dhyanam. So the effort put in to ensure that the successive thoughts have the same object, that is dhyanam. So when after dharana this dhyanam is practiced, then what results is samadhi. So the desired goal or yoga itself was mentioned as samadhi. So how is this samadhi achieved? Only after dhyana this samadhi happens. So the sutra says tadeva arthamatra nirbhasam swarupa shunyamiva. Tadeva dhyanameva. Samadhi is also same as that of dhyanam, where arthamatra nirbhasam, where in the mind the thoughts or the vrittis they contain only the artha or the object of meditation. They have the nirbhasa, the reflection of the object alone. Nothing else remains. So it is the same dhyanam where the object alone is being reflected in the thoughts, and swarupa shunyam iva, and as if the chitta vrittis have ceased to exist. Swarupa shunyam, there is no chitta vritti at all. An experience as if there are no chitta vrittis and only the object of meditation remains. When such a state is achieved, then we call it as samadhi. Now the difference between dhyana and samadhi has to be mentioned. The swarupa shunyata is the extra aspect that we see from dhyana to samadhi. In dhyana, as the swarupa shunyatvam, as if the chitta vritti is losing their existence to the object of meditation, so the mind containing only the object of meditation without even having the notion of thought in the mind, that is samadhi. Whereas in dhyanam, the notion that while meditating, the difference between dhyata, dhyanam and dhyeyam will exist, that is the perception or the realization or the awareness that I am the meditator, this is the object of meditation. Now I am trying to focus on one particular object. So this awareness will exist in dhyanam. I am separate from the object, and this process of dhyanam is happening in my mind. All this awareness will exist in dhyanam while attempt is made to ensure the flow of thoughts being homogeneous in nature. So that is the state of dhyanam. Along with the effort to make the mind having similar successive thoughts, these notions will also be attached to the flow of thoughts, that I am the meditator, this is the process of meditation, this is the object upon I am meditating. All this awareness will also exist during dhyanam. Whereas swarupa shunyamiva, this awareness also about oneself, about the process of meditation, that will cease. Only the object alone will shine in the state of samadhi. The dhyata and the dhyanam itself will melt away, and only the dhyeyam, the object of meditation alone, will shine. Due to mastery over in dhyanam, what happens is this naturally manifests. But how to graduate from dhyanam to samadhi? Repeated practice, number one, and number two, intensifying vairagya. So it is mentioned, this point was discussed in the first chapter itself. So moving from meditation to samadhi can happen when the aparavairagya and paravairagya are strengthened. Paravairagya is vairagya in the operations of the gunas. Disassociation from the operation of the gunas. It is a subtle vairagya for which one has to perceive the operations of the guna. And apara vairagya, the lower vairagya, detachment from the functioning of the mind, detachment from the body, a sense of detachment or withdrawal from objects outside, that is apara vairagya. So maturity in these two kinds of vairagyas, or rather in the initial stages, the apara vairagya, the lower vairagya, if a person has mastered or is an expert in apara vairagya, so then what happens is that the samskaras do not hinder the transition from dhyana to samadhi. The samskaras are rendered effectless. Their effort to distract the mind is reduced by the intensity of vairagya, and then this transition from dhyana to samadhi happens. The commentators also clarify about the word swarupa shunya. They say anuvyavasayaha nabhavati. This is from Vijnana Bhikshu. Another angle of difference between dhyana and samadhi is given by Vijnana Bhikshu. He says that anuvyavasayaha nabhavati samadhav. What is anuvyavasaya? What happens is, whenever in normal course of action, this is the nature of the mind, what happens? If we know something, following that knowing, following that experience, another automatic thought comes in the mind, that is, I have known this. For example, if I am seeing a house, just seeing with my eyes the house, seeing is the first experience, and then the second automatic process in the mind is associating the house with me. That is, I have seen this house. So this house has been seen by me. That second automatic thought is called as anuvyavasaya. See, that is when the realization of the object happens. Oh, this is the house and I am seeing the house. That is the second thought which associates the object seen with the individual who is seeing, that is called as anuvyavasaya. In samadhi, what happens is this automatic second level of thought is nullified. See, only when this anuvyavasaya happens, the realization comes that yes, I have seen this. The association with the individual and the object happens. And after that, oh, I have to go into the house. All those things that comes after that. So, this anuvyavasaya is not there in samadhi, where in dhyanam, this anuvyavasaya exists. So, whenever there is, for example, I am meditating upon the form of the God, Lord Vishnu. So, I am meditating on, oh, the form of Vishnu that appears in dhyanam. And immediately, I am seeing the form of Vishnu, or I have seen the form of Vishnu. That is the automatic thought that follows the first thought. So there is a small unseen subtle thought in the mind, which is called as anuvyavasaya in Nyaya Shastra. So that term is not used, anuvyavasaya is not used in the commentary, but that is the view that is expressed in the commentary. So that anuvyavasaya will not exist in samadhi, whereas that anuvyavasaya, which is of course the realization of the meditator, the instrument of meditation and the process of meditation, that will exist in dhyana. So this is samadhi. So only the object will shine forth. How will the object shine forth? By pratyaya ekatanata. By the term tadeva, what is included is the object shining forth in the mind happens by continuous flow of similar thoughts, unhindered by other thoughts. And unhindered by other thoughts, when there is a continuous flow of similar thoughts on a specific object, what happens is in the mind, it is as if only the object exists. Awareness about all other things are withdrawn. And that state is called as samadhi. So these are dharana, dhyana and samadhi, the last three limbs of yoga. And now a collective term that mentions dharana and dhyana and samadhi is mentioned. A samjna is given to these three together. It is called as sanyamaha. Trayam ekatra sanyamaha. When dharana, dhyana and samadhi are focused on any one object, then what happens? These three are called as sanyama. Any one object is chosen for dharana, dhyana and samadhi, then these three together are called as sanyama. Why this term sanyama? Is that in the sutras that will follow in this chapter, it is sanyama which is advised to reach the various powers, which means, for example, kanthakupe sanyamat kshutpipasa nivrittihi. When dharana, dhyana and samadhi are practiced on the kanthakupa, the throat region, then what happens is krut pipasa nivrittihi. One is freed from hunger and thirst. So to make that convenient, as this is a sutra, the terms are to be mentioned only in brief, alpaksharatvam. So kanthakupe dharana dhyana samadhyabhyasat, rather than making this such long, Patanjali gives a samjna sanyama to dharana, dhyana and samadhi, so that it will be shorter and the nature of sutra will be protected, that is alpaksharatvam will be retained. So wherever he mentions a sanyama, it means that the focus should be on any given object that will be mentioned in the sutra. See, normally what happens is dhyana and samadhi can be done on only one object, whereas dharana can be on a different object. That is, the lotus of the heart may be the desha where we meditate upon. And the object on that lotus may be the divinity or the god of our desire. And then samadhi happens centering upon that object. So what happens is dharana is on a different object, dhyana and samadhi are on a different object elsewhere in other kind of practices. But if one is particular to achieve certain higher powers, then dharana, dhyana and samadhi are to happen on the prescribed object alone. So there cannot be a different place or an object for dharana and a different object for dhyana and samadhi. The object of dhyana and samadhi is to be one, and dharana will be different elsewhere. When the goal is only to reach samadhi, only to meditate, or only to reach a higher awareness, if that is the goal, this is how it is. The object or the place for dharana can be different, and the objects for dhyana and samadhi can be different. But whereas for achieving higher powers, all the three has to happen on the given thing alone. Kanthakupa, Kurmanadi, Murdhajyoti, various things will be mentioned. So all the three has to happen on that one specified entity. So then it becomes Sanyama. When Dharana is different and Dhyana and Samadhi happen on a different object, then it cannot be called as Sanyama. This idea is also embedded by giving the term Sanyama. Tajjayat Prajnalokaha. So when one succeeds in reaching this state of Sanyama, then what happens? Tajjayaha, Sthairyam. Jayaha refers to Sthairyam. When the Sanyama, the capability to do Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi on any given object, that becomes firm, then what happens is Prajna Alokaha. Prajna is the clarity of the mind. The light of the clarity of the mind grows. So the clarity in the mind is enlightened. The clarity of the mind improves. Some other commentators mentioned this Prajna Aloka as Ritambharatvam. We discussed about Ritambhara Prajna in the final sutras of the first chapter. By the practice of Sanyama, Tajjayaha, a decent level of stability to reach Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi on any given object, then what happens is Ritambharatvam. Ritambharam, as we have seen, even object is presented to a person possessing this Ritambhara Prajna, Ritam Vibharti. Light on all the aspects of that given object is gained, or the knowledge about all the truths associated, all the facts associated with that object emerge. So that is Ritambhara Prajna, that is Prajna Lokaha, Prajna Alokaha, the light of clarity. The light of clarity is achieved by firmness in Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi, that is, which is called as Sanyama, by constant practice. So a person can firm or attain a firm footing on Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi, and then when doing this three together on a same object, then what he attains is Ritambhara Prajna. And then anything, any object that is presented to a person, all the facts, past, present and future, and all the aspects, facets of that object is revealed. Clarity about the object that is presented increases. Normally when we see an object, we know it as it is existing during the current point of contact with that, during the current point of connection of the senses with that object, whatever we see, that's what we gain. At the most, we can recollect something about that object and nothing more. We will not know in the previous moments how that thing was. We will not know in future what is going to happen to this. And all those, and even our perception of things are not three-dimensional, in the sense, complete. When we see a person or when we see an object, for example, we see a car, all that we can perceive, we cannot perceive the car in its entirety. We can only see the front portion of the car or any side portion of the car. The mind with its previous images constructs the complete form of the car in our mind. So, our perception is also limited. So, in this way, our direct perception is also limited. So, whereas when by dharana, dhyana and samadhi, a person reaches or achieves or enhances his clarity, the light of clarity enhances in him, then what happens is the capability of him to perceive an object in its entirety in the various planes of time, its various states, the past, present and future, every second of it, how it existed, all that is available for him in great detail if he desires to know. So that Ritambhara Prajna is activated in a person who has a mastery over dharana, dhyana and samadhi on any given object. I see a question here. Where does the word anuvyavasaya come from? Anuvyavasaya is a terminology which is used in Nyaya Shastra. In the Nyaya Shastra, in Tarka Sangraha, one gets to see the term anuvyavasaya, which I mentioned in connection with samadhi. Yes. So, trayam ekatra sanyamaha. So, by this sanyama, what is reached is prajna lokaha, which is ritambhara prajna. And then, when a person becomes confident that he has reached this excellence or mastery in sanyama, what he does is viniyogaha. He gradually distributes or applies. Viniyoga essentially means applying. Viniyogaha or channelizing his mental faculty that has the capacity to do sanyama and attain ritambhara prajna. So, such a mind he channelizes in bhumishu, in various bhumis. What are all the bhumis? Sadashiva Brahmendra, commentator, he clarifies what the bhumis are. Again, this is mentioned in the first chapter, Savitarka, Nirvitarka, Savichara, Nirvichara. These are all the bhumis, gross to subtle levels. So, with this capability to do dharana, dhyana and samadhi, what tasya, a person, this ritambhara, the prajna alokaha which is achieved, tasya prajna alokasya viniyoga. This prajna aloka, the clarity of thought, that is channelized in various bhumis. Various bhumis, savitarka, nirvitarka, savichara, nirvichara. These are progressively subtler levels of subtler planes of the mind. Where savitarka, we see the gross object which is mixed with shabda, artha and jnana. Nirvitarka is again the gross object, any gross object where only the object exists, there is no mingling, intermingling of the object, the word that connotates the object and also the knowledge that is associated with the object, gross object, and savichara refers to meditation upon subtler objects like asmita, dhyana, asmita, mahat, ahankara, and all those things. Where again there is an intermingling of shabda, artha, and jnana, and in nirvichara, it is the object of meditation is the subtle object, which is prescribed in the first chapter. The tanmatras, asmita, or the ahankara, or the mahat, or the prakriti, without the intermingling of the shabda, artha, and jnana. Only the artha, the subtle artha remains. So these are all the subtle bhumis, subtle levels in which he can channelize the prajna aloka or the ritambhara that he has gained by mastery in the sanyama to reach kaivalya. So this is the path to kaivalya. So a person who desires to attain kaivalya, he can channelize his prajna aloka in savitarka, nirvitarka, savichara, and nirvichara. When he attains nirvichara vaisharadya, the ritambhara becomes even more clearer, and then gradually he moves into the final stages of the nirbija samadhi. All these are sabija samadhis where there is some object of meditation, whether gross or subtle, that exists. So after this he goes into the nirbija samadhi. So this is the progression towards kaivalya. This is how it is done. That is presented in the sutra, tasya bhumishu viniyogah, tasya prajna alokasya bhumishu savitarka nirvitarka savichara nirvicharadi bhumishu viniyogah tatra praveshah. So when all these is done, then he progresses from gross to subtle. Now this process is explained, the mechanism is explained, and then in the later portion of this chapter, various objects, other objects will also be specified on which sanyama has to be done. The vinyoga of the sanyama on various objects will be mentioned later to reach specific limited worldly powers. That will be mentioned later. But this is the way in which one has to gradually progress from the sabija samadhi to nirbija samadhi. I use the translation, or I prefer the word vinyoga, the channelization as vinyoga, and that seems to be the opinion of the commentators also. Channelized, yes. And now the last two sutras for this class. Trayam antarangam purvebhya. In reaching the state of samadhi, what happens is these three, trayam, dharana, jnana, and samadhi, are antarangam, are the direct or the immediate causes, sakshat karanam. So immediately after dharana, jnana, and samadhi, this prajnalokaha or this higher state of clarity is achieved. So towards the goal of yoga, dharana, jnana, and samadhi are antaranga, immediate causes, direct causes. Whereas we see from this point of view, the first five, yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, and pratyahara, are bahiranga. So to reach the state of yoga, to attain this ritambhara prajna, dharana, jnana, and samadhi are immediate causes, whereas yama till pratyahara are indirect causes, paramparaya. So this division is brought out to emphasize the importance of these three. And as I mentioned initially, even if a person does not practice asana, pranayama, etc., if he has purvajanma samskaras of the practice of yoga or of the bahirangas in the previous janma, he can start out from dharana, dhyana and samadhi itself. That he realizes as he progresses or as he starts practicing. So, these are the essential limbs of yoga. Whereas the other five can also be is optional for the evolved persons. I am not saying that it is optional for everyone. For those who are matured or those who have that mental makeup, they can directly plunge into dharana, dhyana and samadhi also. That is the opinion here. But the next point makes it even more clearer. Tadapi bahirangam nirbijasya. These three are antaranga sadhanas or immediate causes for sabija samadhi. Whereas for nirbija samadhi, these three, dharana, dhyana and samadhi, also become bahiranga. So the same dharana, dhyana and samadhi are antaranga, immediate causes for sabija samadhi, where there is an object for meditation. The same three, dharana, dhyana and samadhi, become bahiranga, indirect causes, non-immediate causes for nirbija samadhi. Then the question will come, what is the antaranga sadhana for nirbija samadhi? Nirbija, I will clarify it once again. Nirbija refers to the state of the mind where no objects specifically exist. Bija refers to object. So bija is a state of samadhi where a support of the object is taken. In nirbija state, no, the mind does not require an object to attain focus. So for that nirbija state, which will finally culminate in kaivalyam, these three, dharana, dhyana and samadhi, are bahiranga. Then what is the antaranga for nirbija samadhi? The immediate cause for nirbija samadhi is paravairagyam. As I mentioned earlier, it is paravairagyam or the highest detachment from the subtle functionings of the guna. That will what? Deliver or release or propel a person from this sabija state to nirbija state. So vairagya to some extent is, or to a great extent, is needed to attain the sabija state. To reach the nirbija state, to reach that state where the mind does not require an object to remain still, to reach that state, paravairagyam, detachment from the subtle functionings of the guna, that is needed. How do we attach that? How do we attain that detachment from the subtle functionings of guna? Only when we perceive the functioning of the gunas, only when we perceive the gunas and its operations, can we detach ourselves from it. And to attain the ability to monitor the functioning of the gunas, we have to progress in yoga to a satisfactory level even. So, to even perceive the gunas and its action, probably we have to reach the state of maturity in this sabija level. Only then we can, only then naturally the gunas are revealed to us, the actions of the gunas are revealed, and then a person can detach himself from the clutches of the gunas. These gunas are the essential constituents of prakriti. Prakriti is called as prakriti when the gunas are in equilibrium. When the equilibrium of gunas are disturbed, then connection, creation and all those things happen. So, it is essentially the gunas. Though prakriti, mahat, ahankara, all those various terminologies are used, it is essentially the gunas. So, to reach the nirbija samadhi from the sabija samadhi, it is the paravairagya, the detachment from the functioning of gunas, that is the antaranga sadhana. So, the first bahiranga sadhana are the first five limbs from yama to pratyahara. From the point of view of sabija samadhi, the first five limbs of ashtanga are bahiranga and the last three dharana dhyana are antaranga. From the point of view of nirbija samadhi, dharana dhyana samadhi become bahiranga and paravairagya becomes antaranga. So this gradation of the various tools helps a practitioner to understand the method and mechanism better and then start the practice. That is why this classification of antaranga and bahiranga has been presented. So this is the first unit of the third chapter, which spans 8 sutra, which discusses dharana, dhyana, samadhi, sanyama, prajnaloka, the vinyoga of prajnaloka and antaranga bahiranga sadhanas. So we will stop the class here. Any questions? Ah, okay. There are a few questions. Yeah. Chittam and manas in yoga parlance, are they the same? Yes. When you yoga parlance is a wider term. If you reduce the scope in yoga sutras, there is no difference between chitta and manas. Chitta or the manas is nothing but the substratum of the vrittis. And it is also the place where the samskaras are stored. So this is the notion of yoga sutras. But it is a very tricky question when we deal with chittam and manas in the entire yoga lore, yoga literature. Yoga literature includes texts on Hatha Yoga and Raja Yoga. And of course, in Vedanta, in some contexts and context specifically, difference between chitta and manas is brought out. In Vedanta, in Advaita Vedanta, sankalpa vikalpatmakam manaha, and the mind is the one which moves between two ends, whether or not. And chittam is presented as a place where all the samskaras are stored. That different connotation exists in Vedanta. As far as Yoga Sutra goes, I don't see any difference between chittam and manas. Yes, I'm extremely sorry that the 20th class, the 21st class, have not been uploaded. I promised it in the previous class. It will be immediately done today. And I apologize for that, the delay. It is out of, just went out of mind that idea, the work that has to be uploaded, that I lost focus on that. It will be uploaded immediately, today itself. By afternoon, it will be available. Yeah. So, thank you. We will end the class here with the Mangala Shloka. Yogena chittasya padena vacham malam sharirasya cha vaidyakena yopakarottam pravaram muninam patanjalim pranjali ranatosmi. Nistrai gunyo bhavar, I see one more question here. Nistrai gunyo bhavarjuna Yes, that is Paravairagya. True. Is Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna Paravairagya? That was the question. The answer is yes. It is Paravairagya. Thank you. Paul Mahodaya, Bahu Dhanyavadaha.
You're welcome and thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.